You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I don't know why we play this, because Gunner hates Bruce Springsteen. Why do you waste your time with hate? It's not healthy for you.
I was just finishing up a phone call. Go ahead.
You're finishing up what?
A podcast? I was on a phone call when we were listening to your thing. I was like, okay. And this guy, Sean, listens. He's a cop in Fort Worth, a former Marine. He listened to Athena's interview. He's like, wow, that's great. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But I don't hate. I just don't like I don't like Bruce Springsteen. It's not hating. I don't hate him. I just dislike him.
I would say you don't dis. Because I'm not. Unless
he's
like,
got no talent.
See, unless he's doing this, when you hate something, like, you go out of your way for it. Mike, I don't think would go out of his way about Bruce Springsteen. He would just ruin it, like, when you brought it up. That's not hating to me.
No.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, just ruining it for somebody else, that's just, like, not hating. It's just, like, being yourself. What, email. Hey, Mac, what temperature do you keep your house in the winter, and what temperature does the gunner keep his house? The gunner has a complicated house, because he's got, like, vaulted ceilings and shit.
It's all digital.
Yeah, he's got fans and all kinds of craziness going on. What do you keep your house at during the winter?
Okay, what I would like to, or what do we? Because I am constantly fighting this issue. This is a big issue in my house.
The battle of the thermostat?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. See, my house is simple. My house is like flat ceiling house.
Shit. The heat's on right now. Turn this shit off. Off. Right now in the house is 68, which is a little warm.
68. Mine was at 65 when I just checked it, so I turned the heat off. That's a little cold.
Yeah, 65 is where I need it to be.
Really?
Others in the house want it at 70, and I can't breathe, dude. I feel like I'm in the desert.
70.
Yeah, I just like, And I'll walk around like that until I get my way.
Do you normally get your way, or do they wait till you walk out the house and then they turn it up?
No, I normally get my way. I get my way of, like, you know, okay, fine, go ahead, there. And I'm like, thanks. And I get my way. And it's like, if you're looking at for this to bother me, it doesn't. If you're waiting for that moment, if you're waiting for that one moment and you're thinking, okay, he's finally going to be like, he's not going to, this is going to bother him. Nope, I'm not going to get to that moment. It doesn't bother me. I got my way. I'm good.
Interesting. So when you set the heat in your house with those big ceilings, you got the rotating fans to circulate the air to keep it all balanced and everything.
Right.
Whoa, that's a lot, man. That's a lot of shit going on in one spot.
Well, so you change the rotation of the fan, right?
Right.
For the season.
Right.
So you want push down in the summer, pull up in the winter. Or is it the other way around? That's right.
I thought it was always push up, because if you push it up, it takes the warm air off the ceiling and pushes it down.
Yeah. Okay, so in the summer, you want counterclockwise. So that's going to push the cool air down, pull the warm up along the sides of the house, or the walls, and then down. In the wintertime, you want it to pull up in the center, push the warm air on the sides down along the house. So summer is counterclockwise, winter is clockwise. You want an updraft in the winter, downdraft in the summer. And I'm really big on that, so I got to make sure, like, I turn the fan on, and I'm like, okay, who didn't switch the fan to updraft winter counterclockwise? And they look at me like, that's on your checklist, and you failed this. Dad, I'm not one of your Marines. Damn right, because I would have kicked you out.
Nice. Yeah, you know what? When it starts with that attitude right at the start of the conversation, you know that this is not what we're looking for. All right, this is not what we're looking for here in the program today, there, sports fans.
It's hard to live with me because I'm such a perfectionist.
Trust me. Most people have no idea what a bitch you are.
a perfectionist, I'd like to say.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Email question: which one do you think is telling the truth,
Gunner?
Or let me rephrase this: which one do you think is being more truthful, Michael Cohen or the president?
I don't want to do that.
let me just tell you.
I plead the fifth.
That's a tough one to sort out, man. You got two guys who the truth would be a stranger to both of them in their lives.
Yeah. Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Truth. Oh, there you've been.
Yeah.
I like the guy. I really do. I like him. I wouldn't hang out with him. I've had friends like that.
I like his policies.
I love his policies.
Yeah.
I love what he does for the country. That's all I care about. Yeah. Now, yeah.
Don't make me.
We wouldn't be best buddies.
Don't make me.
Because I don't like.
Yeah.
That
don't make me. Behavior. Don't make me defend him because I can't. But let me just tell you, he has played, as a lot of people have, by the rich guy rules his whole life. And those are the rules, right? Women who.
Well, they just come into. Yeah, right. They're just now coming into.
Whether he had it. Whether he had. Yeah. But I mean, O.J. Simpson used them, he got off on them. Rich guy rules, man. Rich guy justice. Hire expensive lawyers, get the trial moved from Brentwood, where there would be a predominantly white jury, to downtown L.A., where it's a predominantly black jury. Case over at that point. They're not convicted on DNA. Those are the rich guy rules. Bill Clinton rolled by him.
Every one of them gets by it. All the congressmen, all the senators.
And now we're going to act indignant like it's this big crime that he paid off two women. That he paid off two women, you know, who he had affairs with and was trying to cover it up or didn't have affairs. You pick what version of it that you want to believe. You know, so, yeah.
I know.
So,
I don't know.
That's like too hard. That's a really hard one to ask. It's just gross. But I mean, I think it is the direction that the country heads in. You know, it's more and more millionaires and billionaires. Beto O'Rourke is now a serious contender for.
No, he's not.
Hold on.
This is just Gunner off today, isn't it?
No, it's when you.
We're going with this.
No. But when you look at straw polls and whose name is being thrown about, he's a novice. Okay? He's a novice and going to be president of the United States? Possibly. His name's being thrown about. I'm just saying that the trend for our country is like. It's almost like it's a reality show. We want, you know, and Obama is advising him. He doesn't have a record that he has to show up and defend. He can stand up and just make promises and talk policies, and he doesn't have a litany of shit. So it's the gross way that the country goes. So, anywho. But whatever.
Sad.
Yeah, whatever. The, let's see, what else is in the news that we can talk about?
Why do you want to talk about the news? Why do you do that to yourself? Why do you subject yourself to that punishment?
What do you want to talk about?
Not that.
Okay.
Hey, let's do this day in history. This day in history. What is going on today?
You're in front of your computer. Come on, tell us.
Oh, I was reading something else. Normally you don't like me when I search something. I like pulling it.
You do.
Edmundson reaches the South Pole.
What?
Yeah. Norwegian Ronald Amundsen becomes the first explorer to reach the South Pole, beating his British rival, Robert Falcon Scott. Everybody's heard of him, Robert Scott.
Never heard of him.
Born in Bjorg, Oslo in 1872, one of the great figures. In 1897, he's on the first main event Belgian expedition to first winter over in the Arctic. He got it at 47 tons to the Northwest Passage.
Whoa.
It's awesome, man.
Whoa.
Awesome.
To go to the Antarctic, you know, 100 years ago or more, what was their equipment made out of?
Seals.
So
wood.
Seal skin?
Bone, yeah. Their clothes were seal skin. Their boots were seal skin. Everything they wore was seal skin, outer. Leathers, hides, animals.
So animal hides. I'm just saying, was there anyone in particular they used because of its, it's almost like it would be, what I'm looking for, properties that today's garments would have. Like, it was a great windshield, but it also took moisture away, or did we do that back then? I'm just curious, in that kind of extreme bitter cold that you would live in for a prolonged period of time.
I don't know. No. I mean, it was all crude. It had to have been.
Because you're an equipment. You're a gear guy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, you look at, if you look at now, like the Red Bull Polar Express expeditions, that shit is like state of the art, man.
Right.
You know, and that's what's so lightweight. It's so damn warm. Back then.
Let's talk about your favorite go to the field ensemble. So if you were going to go to the field, let's pick a spot. Let's just say in the winter, Quantico-esque, where it's a combination of cold and wet. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. What kind of boots do you wear?
My boots.
What kind?
The ones that I had in Marine Corps. Danner. I bought Danners.
You bought Danner boots? So would they be insulated boots?
Yeah, they were always insulated. But they were like all-season boots.
All-season boots. Yeah. So it wasn't a cold-weather boot. It was an all-season boot, insulated.
Right. If it got cold, then I just put on like thermal socks, insulated socks.
Really?
Yeah. But then it got hot out, I put on white socks. I wore white socks, yes.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
I was a rule breaker.
No shit, man. White socks.
Because the green socks were shit.
That's not the point. The point is that's what we wear. Nobody doesn't wear them. That's the beginning of the lawlessness in the Marine Corps. Okay, so that's what you would wear. So that's boots. How about, did you wear any kind of... undergarments? Any kind?
If it was cold out, I wore a long sleeve green Under Armour thermal t-shirt.
A long sleeve green Under Armour thermal green t-shirt.
Yeah.
I did not like that stuff.
I did, because that would made me.
Why?
When it was cold enough and people were wearing just that slight, like that windbreaker, like the desert windbreaker.
Right.
I'd stand out there in just my desert blouse, just in my blouse, and be perfectly fine, and just look like the cool guy, and I didn't pussy out and put the jacket on.
My favorite ensemble that I ever wore, the problem I used to have with artificials, the poly pros and stuff like that, was they dry your skin out. And if you're out for days and your skin just gets dry, that's what I hated about.
Yeah, it's okay. But I use oil. Like, I lotion up.
Yeah, you had to, right? So I would buy, I would tend to buy cotton stuff and wear it next. Like, I'd buy L.L. Bean. They used to have this thing called the River Driver shirt. I'd wear that underneath my T-shirt. So a layer of cotton next to your body. And then the thing I found, this is a while ago in the 90s in Quantico, was the Army had this green parka. And unlike our rubber, you know, our duck-billed platypus wetsuit that sucked, the Army had this, or at least I found it in a surplus store, because I saw Lou Caporata wearing one, and I saw Major John Kelly wearing one. And I asked Lou, I said, hey, where'd you get that? He said, oh, there's a surplus store down in Fredericksburg. He said, they're awesome, because unlike our cold weather top, this hood is gigantic, and you can put it over your helmet, or you can put it over your cover, but it's really lightweight. It rolls up really small, and so you can throw it in your fanny pack. And, you know, it was that rubber-coated canvas. And I used to wear that thing, and I would have a field jacket liner underneath it. And Mike, and you know, if you can keep the wind off your skin and you can,
you're fine.
And you can stay dry, the rest is history.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. And so that was my little combination.
Totally.
Yeah. And then my other rule was, don't get wet before you put your shit on. Okay. If it starts to rain a couple drops, put your shit on. But mine was really, my stuff was really comfortable. It was cotton next to my skin. It was a field jacket liner. And then that rubberized canvas. And people would say, oh, Matt, Gore-Tex, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you what happens when it rains and you get soaking wet and you're wearing Gore-Tex. You have soaking wet Gore-Tex, right? If it sprinkles on Gore-Tex, you're okay. If it fucking rains like Quantico does, you're screwed. And so I'd be standing there in my rubber shit, all happy, and they'd be like, I'm like, yeah, who's the smart one now, motherfucker? Yeah, you in that Gore-Tex, huh? How's that working for you, huh? Huh, smart boy? Let me tell you something about Korean War equipment. It fucking works, man. Water doesn't go through rubber. You know that?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
the rubber bitches that we wore, man. Oh.
Oh, no, we had to remember the bottoms had those, what, the bib overall things? It just sucked. And nobody would wear them. You would have to be, like, dying to put that stupid crap on. And it's because it sucked. But the Army suit, I mean, the pants were, like, over pants that had a drawstring at the waist, and you could had little tabs by the ankles, so if you wanted to tighten those up. But they went over easily, and they went on easily. And then the jacket was just a kind of a big parka that went on easily. And, I saw Lou Caporata wearing it. I was like, where do I get one of those?
So, yeah, my favorite was the field jacket liner underneath.
Yeah.
So I'd wear my green T-shirt, field jacket liner, tuck the corner in so you couldn't see it.
See it.
And then put my blouse on. Oh, that's so comfortable.
Yeah, the field jacket liner was awesome because it breathed, but it kept you warm. Toasty.
And it was soft, and you could roll it up. You could take it, pull it all the way up the sleeve, and then make a pillow.
Yeah.
Just have a pillow with you.
All the little things that you use these things for. But the biggest thing was if you were going to be out in the field, you know, did it roll up small so that meant you could take it everywhere, and it did, and that's why this little suit that I had. That Army suit, that thing went everywhere with me. And I love that thing. I love that thing. And, I remember I was, I almost died. I went to Quantico in, like February, March of 1989. And I remember I was there and everybody did light infantry, right? And then we had not yet grown to the travel light, freeze at night thing, but we would. So I went out to do a problem in, like, April, like the early part of April, and it was raining, that East Coast rain, and the temperature was, like, 35. And I swear to God, it was one of the most miserable nights of my life. And I vowed after that, I'm never, ever, ever going to do that shit again.
Right.
And I mean, it was raining.
And you did.
I bought every piece of snowmobile gear that I could find. Gore-Tex, insulated socks.
I paid to be comfortable.
Yeah, but you couldn't wear any boots then except leather boots. You could wear jungle boots. You couldn't wear Danner boots.
I did. You know boots I wore?
What? Danner.
I wore Danner Go Devils, the big high top mountain boots.
Yes.
And they would always say to me, "Gunny, you can't wear those." All right. Well, actually, Gunny, Staff Sergeant mostly, because that's when we were still Gunny. We started getting close to, and then after that, but Staff Sergeant, you can't wear those boots. They're not authorized.
Yeah, they're not authorized.
I said, "Surely, where I bought them at a PX." And I did.
No, they sold them at the PX.
Huh?
They sold them at the PX, but you couldn't. They weren't.
No, yeah, special order them. But I special ordered them through the PX, and so thus I bought them through the PX.
That's funny.
And people were like, "You can't do that." And
it was so frustrating because there was better gear out there, and there was no reason to say no to it. There was no reason to say no to it. But the Marine Corps deal is, unless it's issued to everybody, look, they're out in the field 2 days. I'm going to be out in the field all 5 days this week, same thing next week, and the same thing the week after, right? So they can come out and fake it for a day. My feet are going to freeze off. And, just miserable. Miserable. But, I used to love the trick with my gear, sew different pieces on. Like, Mac, where'd you get that? I made it, man. I made it. Really? Yeah, I found a little clip, and I sewed that on to my war belt, and I did this, and I did that, and I put a little loop on my H harness, and that's why this hangs, because I like my stuff, and I like to be comfortable.
Freaking rule breaker, man.
I didn't publicize that very much. But I was. Mike and I have this in common. We hate stupid. Like, explain to me why I need to do it. I mean,
if it makes sense, I'll do it all day long.
Yeah, but if you're just telling me to do stupid, I'm not doing stupid. And I'm not afraid to break a rule.
Well, yeah, it'd be like, and I was always, in every capacity, I was that guy. Every capacity. Sir, you got to check in. Okay, where's the check-in list? Right here. Okay. So I'd go through this thing, and I'd go to – and I was the guy that went to every single buddy that I was supposed to go, right?
Right.
So I'd walk in there, and I'd go – and this happened when I checked into the division. Oh, my God, dude. This was like – so I checked in, and I thought I was already checked into the division. I mean, I was in the division, but I guess apparently not. So who was – God. Who was MEP head or not MEP headquarters group? Who's headquarters battalion division when you were still there? Our guy, you knew him, Colonel. What was his name?
I'm thinking.
Great guy, greatest guy ever, man. Colonel, infantry guy, should have got a regiment. Never understood why he got headquarters battalion. I can't believe I missed. What was his name, dude?
No, he's a good guy because some of the guys who got that got it as kind of a punishment. It was not. It was a fairly. It's headquarters elements herding cats, right? It's misery. But he was awesome and did a great job.
So he was excited that I was coming to work there too, and he was like, "Oh, this is gonna be great. At least I got misery company."
Right. There you go.
And. So I'm checking in, and I'll never forget, I went to somebody, it was like some weird thing on there, and I walked in and said, "Hey, I'm checking in, I need to get this signed." And they're like, "Okay, sure, here you go." And the guy just went, "Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo." And I said, and he just signed the thing. I said, "Do you need anything from me?" And he goes, "No, sir." "Do you need my name?" "No, sir." "I don't know." He's like, "I don't know why they put us on there." I'm like, "You got a highlighter?" He's like, "Yeah." That was the first one, and I highlighted it. And then I went to another one. Same thing happened. I walked in. "Hey, I'm checking in." "Oh, yeah, sure. Here you go." "Need anything from me?" "No." "Do you know who I am?" "No, sir. It doesn't matter. We don't We don't deal with anybody. Oh, get a highlighter? Yeah. Can I keep it? Sure. I get done, and I ain't shitting you, Mac. I had more highlighted lines than I had signatures. Non-highlight. So I go into, Paul? It's going to drive me insane now. So I go into his office, we talk, and Joe Russell is the guy there now, or just left. Joe is a tanker, an Amtrak or something like that. And Joe is the XO, and Joe took over. But so I go in, we're talking, and Joe comes in. I never met Joe. And he's like, hey. And he's a – at first he's like – he's a by-the-book kind of guy. Yeah. Rules. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the rules. And he said, hey. And he didn't see who I was at first. And he goes, hey, the colonel has a schedule, and you're keeping him off of it. And that's when Paul – God, I want to say it's Paul. Turns and goes, hey, Joe, this is Mike. He's our new division gunner. And he goes, oh, hey, I didn't know you were the gunner. Hey, what's going on? And so we start talking, and he sits down. And I go, hey, you're the XO. Here you go. Check that out. You know what those yellow hotline lines are? And he goes, what? And I go, nonsense. People check in. No one's ever vetted this check-in sheet. And you waste time. You know, that's like a day and a half of chasing these places down, because none of those, yellow lines are here at this camp. They're somewhere else.
And then you go there and they're not there, and you got to come
and
back.
And they're not there, and then I can't, you know, so you're forced, and like, if we streamline this to just these signatures, really what we need, and we'll figure it out later. If we didn't check in, I'm sure we'll get him the information, you know. We could check a guy in a day, and be working the next day. And said, that sounds like a great idea, Joe. Why don't you get on it? And that's where Joe figured out real quick. Like, he's like, when does a – now, gunners are in admin? you know, my commo asked that in when I was in 3-5 in a staff meeting one day. And he said, ooh. Hey, since when do gunners – and he was like trying to go, since when do gunners get into the comm business? And I said, Tim Kuhn. And we got to be really good friends.
Was he being funny or combative?
No, he was being serious. Because I was stepping on his... Ooh. He had just checked in. He's a captain. He'd been in a comm guy his whole life. The first time he's on the infantry side. You know, he's been in a sheltered comm world the whole other time.
Right.
So he's got to make a name for himself. I'm down there telling him what to do. And so when he's a staff, and he goes, I just got a question for him. And he goes down, he puts his head down the table, you know, stepping, and he goes, for the gunner down there, why is the gunner down there telling me how to do things in comm? And I said, well, first of all, Tim, I'm not telling you how to do things in comm. I'm telling you where these priorities go to. Because let me make it real clear, gentlemen. If it has anything to do with war fighting that the infantryman has to employ, it's my fucking business. Do I make myself clear? And it was kind of funny because, you know, Billy McCullough and those guys were like, and Billy's like looking around, he's XO. Nope. I think you're clear, Gunner. Anybody got a fucking gift? Anything to add to that? Oh, no, sure. All right. Okay. And I think that was the first point. I'm looking, and I smile, put my head back down, I smile at Tim, and I'm like, We can be friends or we can be enemies. It's not healthy to be my enemy. I will win. But we can be buddies, and we can work together. And we did. And we came really good friends.
But you know what? And headquarters elements are famous for this stuff, right? They go down to their little fucking shop, right? And and then somebody calls down, and we don't do that. Yeah, we don't... you're going to have to talk to the mass sergeant about that. Or, yeah, you know, it's stuff you – they throw all this bullshit at you because they don't want to play. And they live in their own little worlds, and then you yank them into your world, and then they get correct, and they're fine after that. Just remember which direction up is. All right? Which direction up is. And because they forget. And then they do, and then not only do they forget, but they're crazy enough to do some shit like that in public.
Well, you know, people don't know. And it's like, I'm not here to, you know, to do this, to be this kind of guy. I'm here. I don't care. You know, it's like, this is not about, we need to get through this. You know, you understand? I'm not here. I don't care about pride. You know, don't care about the ego. Because it's not about that. It's about we need to get them the right type of gear, the right type of training.
Yeah, but Mike, we both know that that's a conversation that you have with somebody, you know, face to face, and in private. You don't do that in public unless you want it, somebody to break it off in your ass. Here you go, son. Not really my style to do this in public the first time, but if this is where you want to do it, then here you go. Have some. And if there's more if you want it.
Right.
No, that's all right. But everybody, you know, the good thing is you became friends and you learned. Because a lot of people don't.
Yeah, we got to be really good friends. Yeah. You know what? I want an ice axe.
Everybody needs an ice axe.
Dude, I want this Black Diamond Viper ice tool.
What do you think of the whole concept of ice fishing?
Oh, it's fun. I don't really care for it too much, but it's fun. I just screen shared with you, so I want you to write this down. Black Diamond Viper ice tool.
No,
right
now,
2-day shipping for over $50.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I think, what's the guy's name?
I'm going to carry that with me.
What's the company's name? Now, I've got a better one for you. I did an interview with the guy. What's his name? He makes custom tools like that for breaching doors and going through ice and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he started doing it for his friends and cops, and it turned into a business. Now he's a manufacturer.
Not like this.
Oh, better.
You're not looking at my picture.
Yeah, better than that.
That's
like child's play to him. Yeah.
You're just telling me he bends a piece of rebar.
No.
Dude, this is like, that's professional. They climb glaciers with that stuff.
It's ridiculous. Okay, stop it.
I want an ice axe, Mike. Give me an ice axe.
I'm still saving for the meteor pistols.
Well, this is like an intern to keep me happy.
No, you buy all your own shit, man. You're like constantly getting yourself
I know.
Presents. Equipment?
Look at the close-up on that.
Did you carry any kind of axe or any kind Okay, imagine.
The only knife I carried is like a Gerber multi-tool.
Imagine that.
But I'd carry this.
Imagine this. All right. God, I see the guy's name all the time. He lives up in Michigan. Imagine this. Matt comes in, all the outside the COC in Fallujah. One day he sees where you hang your body armor and your helmet. One day he sees out of the back panel, sticking out of that panel where the sappy plate goes, is an axe.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So I see that.
Right.
And so now my brain says, who is carrying an axe? With their flak jacket. Like, what crazed Marine is doing this?
Right.
And so I began to inquire, right? On the down low, went to inform sources, a Lance Corporal, and I said, hey, who's got the axe in there? And they're like, oh, sir, is it one? This is the phraseology, with the green and gray and white head towel. Yes. That was on it, too. Oh, so that's Major X. And when he said Major X's name, it totally in character. Because, like, Major X, like, loved to play the fictitious comic book hero Marine, right?
Yep.
Oh, my God. And you're just like, okay. Just being, just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff on top of crazy stuff. And just was like, okay. I can't remember the guy's name in Michigan. He's a former Marine, came on the program probably a couple of years ago, and talked about how the product line developed, how he likes to talk to other veterans that are entrepreneurs and encourage them, and how he just started doing things that he thought cops could use. Firefighters saw it for stuff for breaching doors and stuff like that, and that, and then he started. You know, he custom made all these things, and then there was such demand for them in adjacent police departments that he started manufacturing them, and it built into a little business. So I should get you that in case you ever come upon a locked door that you don't appreciate.
Nugent, Paul Nugent.
Who's that?
That's it.
No, I don't know Paul Nugent.
What? He's in the same running groups of Bronzy. He's one of those guys.
I don't, I, you know, you don't know everybody in every group. Sometimes there's guys.
Dude, he's a great, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
There's sometimes sometimes there's guys that you don't know in groups.
You never met, so Paul Nugent and Ben Watson. Did you know those guys? You know Ben?
I know Watson. Nugent.
Okay. So Watson and Nugent were like the, you know, every class or every instructor group has like its top dogs.
Yes.
Like its big dogs on the block.
Yes.
So when EWS was, or AWS was still going on,
yeah.
Paul and Ben Watson were instructors there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the smartest guys on the block, man. Everybody knew, hey, go talk to those two guys because those guys got their shit wired. You know? And so, they were just, they were the guys. Those two were like pinnacle, the best that you could be, you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Straight up army guys?
Yeah. Well, they were taking, they were stealing that slogan from the army.
Like 2nd Marine Division stole Follow Me from the School of Infantry.
Rangers?
Yeah, Follow Me. Army Infantry, man.
Well, we got it now.
Straight up ripped them off.
Right.
And then we'll tell, ask them why they stole it from us. That's how good we are.
Right. No, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
So they were the, so they were the pinnacles.
Yeah. Paul Nugent and Ben Watson. They used to teach expeditionary fires and all that. Like, and so we started getting into like the whole hierarchy of it.
Right.
Naming convention, you know, like everything, like answering, like the like if you could, you could ask, what is the purpose of life, and get the answer. That was kind of it in the Marine Corps that day. It was a defining moment in my career when it came to fires.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like expeditionary fires, like everything. I mean, I was going like, okay, so you know, because I knew we only had them for like 3 days. Okay, so how does the naming convention go for joint fires? Oh, that's simple, you know. And then how does this, how does the inner fabric of war, you know, and so you're like, oh, that's simple. And you're like, oh, my God, this knowledge.
And you're a fires guy because you were a mortar guy.
Yeah, I was a fires. I was a fires big time. I was like, I'd always listen to fires. I could listen to fire story all day long. Like, turn me on. Fires were the thing, man. I loved fires. Yeah, not like burning fires, not like forest fires, but like fires.
Indirect.
Like combined arms hell.
Indirect fires.
Putting the enemy in the horns of a dilemma.
Yeah, we talked good. We talked a good game. I don't know how many times we did that. I don't know how many, you know, I don't know how many guys actually thought of conceived of operations like that. We're going to try to do this, and we're going to try to do this.
No, but it looked cool.
Yeah. No, no, and again, you know, some guys did, and I think whenever you try to change the intellectual environment of your organization, it probably takes a generation of officers to pass through to finally do it, do those things. Some guys will buy it. Some guys will say, that's bullshit. My CG told me that this, that, and the other thing. So, yeah, you know, I got it, but I don't believe in it. The important part was all the, you had great discussions about stuff like that with guys, and you learned, and then you applied what, you know, you should. So,
right.
Yeah. And it was, I'll tell you what, I was really fortunate, the guys I met, the guys I worked with, and just good dudes, and we love to argue like Mike does, you know. We love to argue about our craft and about something we'd read, and do you believe that? Do you not believe that? Well no, and here's why. But they were smart guys, and just fun to learn from. And
yeah.
You walked away, and you always walked away, you know, you always walked away better for, you know, being a learner and not being afraid to show up and engage somebody and ask them why, and, you know, and then the proverbial, okay, I know I'm not the smartest person in this room, but I don't understand what you're saying.
Right.
Let me break it down for you Barney style. Awfully fun, learning. And then being able to go back and teach your Marines different ways to do things. And
I'm going to be calling Paul today. He's the chief of staff of the division.
Of the 1st Division?
Yeah, under Castelli.
Nice. Nice.
And Chris Griffin is the freaking headquarters battalion. I'm going to call Chris. I'm going to crank call Chris.
You can.
And then...
Do they still do hard CR
Flores. So there's some Flores is the executive officer. So Flores is the major now. He was a young lieutenant, and I used to screw with him so much. He's so serious. He's like Mr. Serious, never cracked a smile, and I always go to him away to like just do stupid shit in front of him, and he'd go, you know, just try and break him. It never worked, man. Ever.
Never? You failed in your crush mission?
Yeah. No, I didn't try to crush him. I just wanted to get in his head. But he's just one of those.
Whoa.
He's like a different kind of guy.
Normally, you're fairly relentless in making sure that you...
Chris, you know Chris Griffin?
No, I don't know him.
He's another Bronze. Him and Bronze are buddies, too. He's a Lethwich guy.
Bronzy knows a lot of people, man. He's a made man.
Griffin's a Lethwich guy.
Do I know
him? You would have known Chris. He's an opso for 3-1 during the assault. Trying to think of where else you'd have met him.
He wasn't with 3-1 in Afghanistan, was he?
No, that was Ben Watson.
Right. I didn't, when we came back, I didn't travel in that orbit, man. I went to a different, I went to Methland and the craziness that is Methland. And so you came back, we're in the division for another four years? What year did you retire? 2015?
15.
Yeah, for another 4 years. And
Years? Yeah. I was in the division forever.
No, but after Afghanistan, when we got back, you had you went up to, you know, you stayed at the regiment and then went to division, and I went to someplace else, and didn't travel in that circle. The since we're asking equipment questions, I have one. What kind of gloves do you guys like the most? Mike, what kind of gloves would you wear? Let's do regular and then cold weather.
I like Oakley gloves. Or not Oakley. Yeah, Oakley. I like their tactical gloves. I like the Under Armour, too. They're good. Wiley X. They're all good.
For hot weather there's a whole bunch of good gloves. I mean, with honestly, with anything you could imagine. You want the index finger cut off? You can buy those.
No.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You can. There's so many now. You want hard plastic over your knuckles? You could buy those.
That's my Wiley X's. So I'm screen sharing. So yeah. If you look at my Wiley X's, that's what mine look like. So they have that little finger that you can use your iPad for if you want.
Right. And then you have the hard plastic over your knuckles?
Yeah. I don't know, Tanny, how many times I wrapped my knuckles.
Oh, man. And those things.
I also have the hybrid.
It's like.
So you can remove them. So you can remove the knuckles and just go soft. It's at least two.
It's like, it's to me, when you do your knuckles, it's like there's two things it reminds me of. When you're aboard ship, you have these permanent, like, notches about 6 inches above your ankle, the hinge of your ankle, as you step through these watertight portals that are raised about 6 inches. And sometimes you misnavigate and you hit them. And it's just your leg hitting it steel. And so if you're on a ship, you have those things. And so when you hit your knuckles, it reminds me of that feeling, or the feeling of stubbing your toes, because it just hurts. But there was just a soft coyote glove that they had. And then, but, you know, everybody wore the Nomex before all these gloves came out. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know, if you had a pair of Nomex gloves, you were a cool guy. But they were great gloves because you could write with them on. You'd have to take your glove off to write. You could do everything you were supposed to do with them on. So those, you know, but now, I don't know, cold weather glove, Mike? Did you have any cold weather gloves?
Yeah, I had who made our cold weather gear in the Marine Corps? God, why am I doing this? I can't even think anymore. They made our this thing that I'm wearing right now. Who the hell made this? This fleece, our fleece stuff.
Polar?
The polar fleece stuff. Who made that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's a big company. Right when I say it, you're gonna go, oh, no shit, those guys make it? I get magazines all the time from them too.
North Face.
No, not like that.
Yeah, North Face makes nice stuff.
Yeah, but you don't need those stuff. No. That's like
no, but I mean, where we went in Hellman, I mean it's like 29 palms, so you didn't need a heavy duty glove. You know, there'd be few. I mean, and your lightweight gloves stuffed in your
Arctic. That's it.
Arctic.
I have Arctic gloves.
Yeah.
Arctics.
Yeah,
Arctyx. Arctyx. Yes.
But
these are good gloves.
Yeah, you wouldn't have that. But I'll tell you what, the explosion in tactical gears, everything from holsters to you know, it might give a great example of a single rig that could be a drop down that detaches and goes on your belt, that could be worn over your shoulders. One, and it's all one ensemble that you can pull apart and put together. Crazy, crazy. You walk into if you were a Marine who was in the Marine Corps in the 70s or the 80s, and you walk into a PX now, and you, or for instance, if you just walked into the PX at SOI, and you walked around and looked at all the shit that's in there, you would walk out going, oh my God, man.
Yeah. OR, too. That's the other one. Outdoor Research.
OR. Yeah, they make good stuff.
They make a lot of Marine Corps stuff, too.
Yeah. No. And let me tell you, I would tell you that the boots that I got issued in the Marine Corps, I don't know, somebody must have casted my foot at night. Best boots I've ever worn, the most comfortable boots I ever wore were the ones I got issued. And I never, you know, I never was a fan of stuff I got issued.
I was.
Especially.
Here's my, I'm showing you a picture of my Danners.
Especially boots. And my boots weren't Danner. They were, who were the other people that made them? Mine used to come out of the yellow box. Who's that?
I don't know. El Cheapo?
The lowest bidder?
Bidder?
And I could go in my
car. I paid $400 for my boots.
Mine were free, man. And they kept giving them to you. Hey, you had two pair of boots? Nope.
Oh, Bates.
No, not Bates. It was the other company. Yeah, it was not Bates. It was the other company. But
El Cheapo.
But the last for those boots was my foot. I put those things on, and it was like it was like me being in a baby wrapped in a blanket. My foot loved them.
Yeah, I got these Danners. Well, the first pair I got from Danners, I got from Danner for free because I knew a guy.
Here we go. Okay.
But it didn't have the globe and anchor on the.
That makes a difference.
But it was the same boot. Yeah, we had to have the globe and anchor, which was like stupid. Like, come on. Why do I have to have Eagle Breaker on my heel?
Because it's Marine certified.
I have Marine Corps, yeah. I have it all over my canis, those little Marine Corps. But if I got a tattoo of a Marine Corps Eagle Breaker on my body, then I'm in trouble.
Everything he wore was Marine Corps green. Yeah, that's how we do it.
So, finally, in order to make it, like, work, I went and got us, you know, the old stencils?
Shut up. You did not do this.
You know the one we used to iron on?
Of course.
Okay. So I tried that first. Iron it. Didn't work. Okay? Didn't work. So then what I did was I took a transparency paper, and I took a Eagle anchor, but I took a pin, and I put it on that leather part, and I made little dots through the transparency paper where the pattern was.
Yeah.
And then I took a black permanent felt tip marker and small tip, and outline the Eagle Blanker.
That's so ghetto, and I know no
one was
fooling. It did not.
Yes, it did.
It would come off in the first, like, week.
Yeah, then you see the imprint. It always will be that shadow was there forever.
Just something to.
Yep. And someone would say, like, those aren't Marine Corps boots. Yeah, it wore off. It was the first run. And they'd look, and you could barely, and they're like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah, get away from me.
What kind of, but it was the same Danner boot. Did you like, were you a fan of the Rat boot?
The who?
The rat boot.
What's a Rat boot?
It was that one that had the leather front, kind of like the leather toe, with the leather, there you go. That second picture in, that thing.
No. The USMC Rat.
Yeah.
Oh, it had the plastic. No.
Yeah, that had that cap, cap on it. Because one of the complaints of Marines was that in the desert, that front cap wore through.
Mine was leather front.
Yeah.
And they're high tops. I remember now. God, that's like a Rat, dude.
Yeah. I was saying it was disgusting looking.
It's just ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly. And Marine Corps is normally pretty fashion conscious relative to our gear.
Yeah.
We like to look
good. I used to wear the Israeli boots.
Oh, really? Sandals?
You ever see those?
Yeah, they're like knee-high sandals. You know what?
They're like... I can't... Well, it was a long time ago, but... We were sergeants or corporals, and we'd have to swim in the pool all the time with boots on. So I was like, shit, my boots get waterlogged and they get heavy. Belleville is the other boot.
That's my boot. Yep, Belleville. Yep. And again, it's like
cheapo. $129.
It's like hockey skates, though. You know, there's certain companies make skates that fit your foot, and that boot was the same.
These are the boots right here. They're called Sabra Nigab.
I've seen them.
Israeli combat boots.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're like rubber-toed pieces of paper.
Yeah, but they were a little bit higher tops than that. Dude, they look like, and we'd dye them black, and they look like boots from afar, and we'd jump in the pool with those things on and swim all day long. Like, woohoo, this is so much easier.
And the dye would come out in the pool, and everybody's stuff would be turning black.
They would turn gray at the end of the day, yeah. You just re-dye them. The shit we used to do, man. I mean, it's like so stupid.
I know, but it was fun.
Yeah, look at this. Oh, there you go.
That's them.
That's what my boots looked like when I first came in.
No kidding. Back when you had to, you know what? This is a joke about what it is to be a Marine today. They don't polish boots. They don't iron uniforms.
Oh.
Right? You get up and put your pajamas on and go to work. Yeah. back in the day when you used to take your utilities to the dry cleaners, get them pressed and shit. None of that. Yeah. So yeah. Being a Marine is easy now. The upkeep and maintenance, throw them in the washer, boys.
Yeah, that's like how to polish your boots.
How to spit shine them, all that lost art. Would not know how to do it if you rolled in and said, hey, and anybody here know how to spit shine?
I still know guys that would wear polished boots or polished Core Fram shoes. But there was no way. I mean, there was like an art to this. You'd have to heat it up, yeah. Let it get hot. Then you take that, because it would separate the wax.
Right.
And then you take the dabber brush, yeah. And then that would penetrate the leather.
Yeah, you'd fill in all the cracks. That's how you get it smooth. And then, but you had to sand the leather down.
Yep, then take really fine sand. Then use heat it up on the boot.
But let me tell you, on sea duty and barracks duty is where this thing, like, you saw this thing get raised to a level of perfection that you could not even conceive of. The art of spit shining. And then one of my Marines gets into a fight in the chow hall, in the line to eat chow on the Ranger. And so they come to me before the Navy guys can find me. And they're like, sir, there was an altercation in the line for chow today. And like, between who? Muscleman and the squid. Okay, what happened? Sir, he stepped on my spit shot. He stepped backwards in line with his nasty ass boot from the flight deck right on my spit shines after I got done with him. And then what happened? I clocked
him. Shoot him.
I clocked him. Like, oh.
Took him to the fan sail and shot him.
And you know what? It was like legitimate. Because, I mean, this is like an art form, spit shining. And like, he's just going to step on the top of my boot with his nasty steel-toed thing that he hasn't even bothered to brush or clean in like 7 years. So,
right.
Yeah. So, no, well, it's a serious transgression. Like, all right, well, that's legit. No wonder you clocked. No wonder you punched him in line at the chow hall. I'll tell the CO, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. All right. Thanks, sir. No problem. Keep up the good work, boys.
Exactly.
Keep up the quality work. I had a cooking question for you. Do you ever make a thing called tiramisu? You're Italian?
Yeah. I'm not Italian.
I thought you were.
No.
You're not?
No.
Oh, no. I thought you were Italian.
Spanish.
What happened?
Not
so,
me.
So you, what kind of liqueur do you use in your tiramisu?
Bourbon.
I fucking knew that. Because the chef was saying today, yeah, he said a lot of people think they have to use, you know, a like Grand Marnier or something like that. He said use the liquor that you like, make it out of that.
Yeah.
Just don't use too much of it and make the ladyfinger soggy. And I was like, oh, I wonder if the gunner, since he's Italian, I wonder if he makes tiramisu. So
no, I don't make it, but yeah. So dip the ladyfinger in bourbon, coffee mixture for a few seconds. So it's just saying like that. So use the mascarpone. I'm not a big tiramisu fan. But yeah, I've had bourbon tiramisu. And you could do anything at any liqueur or any liquor. Just the whole thing with dipping the ladyfingers in there. And that looks lengthy. I don't want to do that. Just buy it. 2/3 of a cup. That's a lot, man. I don't know. Maybe I won't make it now.
Those things are a lot of work. They're not a little bit of work. I remember the first time I actually kind of sat down and watched them mess with it. I was waiting tables at a benefit, and I didn't even know what tiramisu was. And so they explained what it was to me, and I was like, oh. And so,
some people think it's like pudding. It's not. It's not a pudding. It's cookies. you know, you layer them and then you put in this mascarpone.
Right. And there's a song that, you know who Macklemore is?
Yeah.
He sings in a song, there's a lyric that he wrote that says, there's layers to the shit player, tiramisu, tiramisu. And when I heard it, I'm like, makes total sense, man. It's complicated. That's what he's saying. Tiramisu is complicated. So so it made me laugh, though, because I'm like tiramisu savvy. So I thought, you know, Michael, he'll have I'm sure he'll have a tiramisu story because he's Italian. Why did I think you were Italian?
I don't know. I don't know what. Yeah.
Why?
Michael Musulman. That's Italian.
Mussolini. Hello?
Yeah.
Thank you. Michael Mussolini. Hello? Thank you. Here's an email question. Speaking of desserts, do you guys have favorite desserts? Of all the desserts you could have, if you could only pick one, what would it be? Mine's easy. My mom's cherry pie. Mike, can only pick one dessert. What would it be? Going to the desert island, they're allowing you an infinite supply of one dessert. What is it?
Infinite supply of one dessert. And that's all I can bring? So what else could I bring to the island?
Well, you get other entrees, and you know, but this is the dessert that you're going to not live without.
How many beverages would I get? Choices? Just one?
It is.
So you say like.
It is a desert island.
You get one entree. What would it be for the rest of your life?
And then.
Food groups are we talking here?
No, only. We're only talking one dessert entree. Well, dessert isn't an entree. Only one dessert choice.
Right. So my choice. Then you're going to say you'll get one beverage choice. And I'd say water. Okay. Because that would be the smart thing to say.
I know, but who would take water? You can have water.
Well, because then I can make Kool-Aid if I want.
on the desert island, there's going to be water, right? You're going to make your little hollowed out coconuts, and you're going to collect water, so you're going
to
have water.
I don't want to work to make water. No. So for my dessert, what I'm trying to get at for my dessert, yeah. I would probably take burger.
Really, as a dessert?
Yeah. I couldn't eat pies. I like pie. I like some pies. Black Forest cake is my favorite cake.
Black Forest cake? What is that? Just chocolate on top of chocolate on top of chocolate?
Chocolate, whipped cream frosting, but it's got the cherries inside.
Ooh.
In each layer with the cherry liqueur from Germany.
So you got you got your own little tiramisu thing going.
Yeah, but Black Forest cake is my favorite cake. My favorite pie. Probably is close to being pecan pie.
Really?
Yeah. I love pecans. I love them.
My mom used to make pecan pie, and I would not go near it.
Oh.
And I didn't
have you ever thrown your back out?
Yeah, my lower back.
I threw my upper back out.
That's impossible.
Well, then tell me why I'm in so much pain, like a where my shoulders are at.
You're a pussy.
I didn't do anything today.
That's exactly my point.
No, I mean, I didn't get out yet. I was, like, getting shit done. I wasn't moving around. All of a sudden, I sat down. I'm like, oh, my fuck. What is going on? I've been, like, wiggling in the chair, trying to get... I've been talking with my hands over my head, stretching, you know?
Yes. Well, that's all it took?
Okay, no, I've been, like,
I don't want to tell you
the pain.
I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but you might want to PT a little bit.
I do, but just like, I just turned some way, and now I can't, oh my God. I can't.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened, dude. I mean, it's like the last 5 minutes.
No, upper back?
Yeah.
No.
Like right in the middle of my spine, like right between my shoulder blades. Maybe it's a pinched nerve. Oh, crying out loud. I might have to drink some bourbon right now. I'm serious. Yes. I haven't had... Oh.
Just have some tiramisu.
Dude, I'm like... this just like hit me. Like, what the hell's going on? Whew. Yeah, that one doesn't feel great.
What about, let's see. What are you doing over the weekend?
Well, what I was going to do yesterday, tomorrow, is I had some of that, the Cops Academy to do.
Now you're going to be.
Well, I don't, I have to drive out tonight, but.
Man down.
Well, I had a headache last time, in the beginning of the week, beginning of the month.
Yeah.
And that put me down for a couple of days. And then I went out Monday or Tuesday, can't remember. And then it was fine. Everything was perfect. But I'm going out tonight at 6. And it's going to be fun tonight because it's cold, it's windy, there's going to be shitty drivers out. But dude, I got to go to this. If this doesn't go away, I'm going to doctors. I got to get something for it, man, before they close. You know, they gave me that shot. What's that? Cortisone shot? Have you ever had one in the back? Oh, it feels so good.
Never. I've never taken any of those kind of shots. I've never. You're a medicated guy, and have been through physically a lot. I don't nearly have the wreckage that you have. I mean, I hyperextended my knee.
My bones are probably so calcified from injuries.
I haven't had
my rib cage is probably one big bone.
Yeah, your car accident, right?
Yeah, my whole neck is. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I turn the wrong way. If I do the wrong thing, if I don't do the right thing. Shit, dude, it's just like, oh, I gotta go soak in the bath. But does your back ever make you go into some serious pain?
Yeah, when I, for instance, when I overuse it, I got up on a ladder, and I was trimming the top of these pepper trees that are in the front yard because they were approaching the fascia board on my house, and I was going to hang the Christmas lights, so no point in hanging the Christmas lights if you can't see the sunbitches. So, you're standing on the ladder, but you're leaning off it to do that thing, and so you're at a weird angle, and you stay there for a while and do that, and so, you know, you tax muscles that you normally wouldn't tax. So, but that's most of my stuff is lower back, and it's lower back on the right side of my spine, because I got thrown. We had this thing called the bear pit in Quantico. There was a stupid, like, let's pretend we're barbarians and do stupid shit. So,
right.
So, my company, different platoon of my company, dug a hole, a pit out by the obstacle course. Then the whole company went out there and filled sandbags. So they could line the bear pit, and then we would go to the bear pit, and it was like 30-foot circle dug straight into the ground, 90 degrees, and it went to about 5 feet. So we would play with a log that went across the diameter, right across the middle of it. There was this log that went through, and we would play. There would be stupid games, stupid Roman games, arranged for us to be involved in. So with the whole company assembled around the bear pit, like one platoon would get in the middle and another platoon would completely surround them. And the game was, can the platoon in the middle get out?
Right.
And so I got one leg out and an arm out, and I'm pulling, and one of my buddies is shoving me, and then one of those assholes like grabs me by my belt, the back of my belt, and just yanks me back in. And you fall like flat on your back, and I just remember going, oh, and I still feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid. I remember I was on my back. I looked up, and here's a Marine Corps captain, an infantry guy. He was a great guy, Naval Academy guy, but he's probably the best officer in our company, SPC type, one of the platoon commanders. And he had this crazy look on his face with this whistle in his mouth yelling, kill him! I'm like, this is awesome. That dude's in charge. Just so fucked up. But, yeah, that was kind of barbaric fun. Yeah. Then there was another game of throw the other team out of the bear pit. So you would grab a dude with two of your friends and you'd hurl his ass out of the bear pit, and he's kicking and screaming. So, but it was cool because it taught a little bit of combative spirit. But yeah, I still feel that. So.
Yeah, dude, all right. As soon as I hang up, I'm gonna go to the doctor's.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to the doctor? You're not gonna go soak in and put
some? No, man, this is like, I don't know what the hell is wrong.
Are you gonna put some incense on and,
No, I want a shot. I want the pain to stop, dude. I want it to stop.
All right. Hey, I'm going to send you an email with some forms you need to fill out so travel gets covered.
Yes, so send it to me.
Look for that. All right, man.
I'll talk to you later.
Good luck.
All right, bye.
Honestly, that'll do it. If you want to be depressed, stick around for the next. I'm going to warn you. I worked on something last night that that you'll hear in the first hour. And it's a full interview, two different interviews pushed together by a Army PFC who was at me live, and I've done it. I've done it to teach why you keep your honor clean. And the answer to that question, why do you keep your honor clean, is I keep it clean for myself. Everybody else is a beneficiary of that. I do the right thing because I've got to live with what I do. And so I'm not gonna become a murderer. I won't do that. So anyway, the interview is it's chilling. Dare I say that? Yeah, I would say that. And because it's Varnado Simpson, and I say this in the next hour, but he's in his second year of college when he leaves college to be drafted by the Army and to quote-unquote get it over with. He goes to Vietnam. He's a PFC. His mom's in a segregated South in Mississippi. His mom's an X-ray technician. She's a professional woman. So, I mean, he comes from, an exceptional mom, and he's in college, and so he stops up. But anyway, he winds up at My Lai and participates in the slaughter of between 400 and 500 Vietnamese civilians in that village. And you'll hear the audio. First interview comes from 1970-ish, after My Lai broke in the news. He was interviewed. And then the second interview comes 18 years later on the 20th anniversary, and you get to hear what his life is and what he's lived with. So if you're in the Christmas spirit, you might not want to listen to that. So I'm warning you because I'm a good person. But have a great weekend. Say your prayers for the families of five Marines that were identified, and most importantly, their families who will bury them after their remains are recovered, which has not occurred yet. So the emptiness that they'll feel this Christmas, keep them in your thoughts and prayers, and we'll end the week with this once again dedicated to them. Have a great weekend.